I'm George W. Welch, former mayor of Grand Rapids and former president of the United States Conference of Mayors. And before that, lieutenant governor of Michigan. My earliest recollections of Arthur Hendrik Vandenberg is of a tall, rather gangling young man who would return from the University of Michigan during the vacations and take a job as a reporter for the Grand Rapids Herald. The Grand Rapids Press, for which I was a copy boy at that time, and the Grand Rapids Herald were just a block apart on Pearl Street in Grand Rapids. And Arthur and I passed many times a day in our comings and goings. On the Herald at that same time was the late Frank Knox, who was never without his Rough Rider campaign hat that showed a bullet hole through its crown. You'll remember that Knox, like Vandenberg, was a great publisher and ended his career as a member of President Roosevelt's cabinet. Arthur's energetic long strides as he headed down Pearl Street can be remembered now as an indication that he was headed for places. To Congressman and later Senator William Alden Smith should go much of the credit for first recognizing the potentials and the obvious talents of the young reporter. On his graduation from the University of Michigan, young Vandenberg came full-time to the editorial department of the paper he was later to edit. His capitalized and italicized two-column editorials, long in advance of the syndicated columnists, were a prominent feature of the Herald and soon made it an influential and dominant force in the political life of Michigan. In those days, Michigan was practically a one-party state, and the Democrat elected to the legislature was almost an oddity. Editor Vandenberg was a hard-hitting partisan in the Republican Party primary elections, and the help of his forceful pen was a recognized asset in any political battle. He had an able political ally in the late Frank M. Sparks, who was the Herald's state political expert. And no small amount of the credit for Vandenberg's appointment to fill the vacancy caused by the death of Senator Woodbridge N. Ferris should go to Frank Sparks and the influence he then wielded at Lansing during the administration of Governor Fred W. Green. Before his elevation to the Senate, Arthur Vandenberg was an ardent admirer of that great independent Senator William E. Borah. And he was proud to let it be known that he carried on a running correspondence from his editorial chambers with a great senator from Idaho. Much of his early political thinking, in my opinion, was influenced by his regard for Borah. That his regard for Borah did not diminish after Vandenberg entered the Senate is evidenced by the fact that on the death of Borah, Vandenberg moved into the offices of that great independent. It was no doubt this early influence of the isolationist Borah that Vandenberg had to overcome in later years when he blazed a new trail in Republican Party politics and grasped the leadership in advocating a bipartisan foreign policy that unquestionably has had an historic influence on world affairs. I was privileged to have had a part as his representative in Wisconsin in his unsuccessful race for the Republican nomination for president. And it was the belief of many of us here in Grand Rapids and throughout the country that had he made his decision against isolationism at that time, he would, without doubt, have been the presidential nominee instead of Wilkie. In speaking of that campaign afterwards, he called it a great adventure. This may have been a transient adventure to him then. But looking back now on the gangling young reporter whom I first knew, it is plain that his whole life was a great adventure that carried him to the heights of world renown. I've been privileged to have had an almost constant contact with Arthur Vandenberg since we were in our teens. It has always been a source of personal enjoyment and inspiration to have had his friendship through so many years. As a young man, when I had an idea of publishing a horticultural monthly magazine, Arthur started publishing one called The Rural Rooter, a weekly that concentrated on the then newly organized rural free delivery to farms. We were friendly competitors. But he went on to bigger things and dropped my opposition. For years, the United States Conference of Mayors tried to add Senator Vandenberg to their illustrious array of national talent on their annual programs. But it was not till I was president that that distinguished organization that he consented to appear. He made one of his most impressive addresses, and I was personally elated to listen to the compliments that were paid to my fellow citizen after the speech. I'm very grateful for this personal expression of Arthur's friendship. I had a rare opportunity to appreciate the worldwide extent of his fame. As president of the Conference of Mayors, I made several trips abroad, and finally, as a member of the Town Hall Round the World Tour, circled the globe. Wherever it was, I soon found that the only identification I needed to establish myself was to say that I came from the hometown of Senator Arthur Vandenberg. He was recognized literally in every corner of the globe. The world has lost a great citizen.
I begin. It's very pleasant to remember that I was one of the teachers of Arthur Vandenberg when he was attending the Central High School as a senior student. He was a quiet boy, but had a very enthusiastic nature in the background. He had been carrying papers on the morning route, and he wasn't always at his best when he was in school for that reason. I think the family rather needed the help that he gave them, and so it was all right for him. He was one of the members of the staff of the Herald, you might say. It meant a great deal to him, too. That was in the time when William Alden Smith was at the head of the Herald, and he learned a great deal from William Alden Smith, whom he admired very much. In fact, he got the enthusiastic spread eagle style that William Alden Smith used to use in his speeches. But as time went on, he polished that down and became an excellent, moderate speaker. I have nothing but pleasant remembrances of Arthur. He was one of the boys that I didn't have to call in very often for suggestions and criticism. But one day, it's nice to remember that I called Arthur Vandenberg in to tell him that his paper had been incoherent, which was the worst thing a paper could be. He hadn't made his transitions and his connections correctly, but I needn't have worried, for before long he was writing editorials in the writing articles for the Herald, and corrected that. His speech was very direct, and in the time when he was senator, we heard one of his speeches over the national hookup, which was excellent in structure and delivery and every other respect. He was a serious boy, but not at all priggish. He had one peculiar trait which I've never seen in another person. The life of Robert Burns tells that his eyes glowed. And that is actually what Arthur Vandenberg's eyes did when he was enthusiastic. There's an old saying that the nations are happy whose lives are uneventful, and that is true of other people, I think. Well, Arthur's life was eventful, but it was not one of the lives in which he was constantly in turmoil. He was a rather quiet nature, and I have never heard of anybody, I don't suppose there would be anybody, who was critical of him in these respects. He was a fine boy. I'm not surprised that he did what he did.
Might I ask one thing, Mrs. Hulst? Someone has said that Mr. Vandenberg was a great admirer of Senator Borah. In the years that you knew him back as a high school boy, did you know him to admire Senator Borah or to pattern himself after
him? I never talked with him about those things. I know that he modeled himself on William Alden Smith. And that was natural, for he worked in the same office, probably as an office boy in the first place, and doubtless Mr. Smith was very kind to him.
I see.
Anybody would be.